learning your way around a new pulpit setup is a little bit like learning to drive a new car. Here we go. But the Tao Te Ching of ancient China is one of the easiest of the world's major religious scriptures to like. It also may be the shortest of them all, which can be a plus in itself. Most chapters run one page or less, depending on the size of the print. It features no chosen people, no land that's more holy than any other, no apocalyptic battles at the end of the world. What matters most is the Tao, the way of nature, that has no beginning or end at all. It's everywhere, always, imminent, and inescapable. The book has a strong appeal to mystics and hermits, while it also offers wisdom about public service and political action. But for centuries, it has held a special place in the hearts of those who practice martial arts like Kung Fu or Tai Chi Chuan. Most people from my generation first learned of it from the 1970s TV show Kung Fu, starring David Carradine, for some reason. I don't know where they would have found a handsome Asian-American actor who also knew martial arts at that time. Bruce something? Bruce? Yeah, okay. Anyway. On that show, martial arts were depicted as a way of spiritual cultivation and so much more than just some way to fight. You might remember the blind old monk who's always calling David Carradine grasshopper. Grasshopper in his years of training. He has flashbacks. He's always been called grasshopper. That monk often quoted from the Tao Te Ching, though I don't know if he ever mentioned this passage. Yield and overcome. Bend and be straight. Empty and be full. Wear out and be new. Have little and gain. Have much and be confused. Therefore, the wise embrace the one and set an example to all. Not putting on a display, they shine forth. Not justifying themselves, they are distinguished. Not boasting, they receive recognition. Not bragging, they never falter. They do not quarrel, so no one quarrels with them. Therefore, the ancients say, yield and overcome. Is that an empty saying? Be really whole, and all things will come to you. Let's see what comes to us as we hear Deborah play. Thank you, Deborah. Rowing. Michael rowed a boat ashore. Did you recognize that? Rowing. That's a really great, you know, kind of a martial arts full body activity. I didn't know you were going to play that. Well, a few years back, some members of a church that I was serving at the time invited me to a barbecue. Everybody was in a giddy mood. I don't know what it was, joking and laughing. And then during a lull in the conversation, someone mentioned a video, a UU internet sensation that everyone had seen but me. When I looked kind of confused, someone went to get a laptop so we could all watch it together. It started as an ordinary Sunday service led by my colleague, Dawn Cooley, the first female minister of First Unitarian Church in Louisville, Kentucky, in its almost 200-year history. She was wearing her shimmering white robe and pastel flowered stole, coverings that many colleagues like to wear, while personally I don't go much for single-purpose clothing. But I could tell right away that this was going to be a confessional sermon, in which the minister reveals something about herself that might surprise at first, but almost always comes as a relief to the congregation. Wow, so she knows what it's like to keep that hidden too. That is something that makes us fear that we'll be rejected, one of the biggest fears. Sometimes it's a revelation about sexuality or a struggle with alcoholism or some sort of abuse suffered during childhood. You feel the tension build in the video. Dawn walks away from the pulpit and out of the sanctuary. All is quiet for a few moments. And then a voice on the PA system says, "Please welcome the Derby City Roller Girls." And out they roll down the church's central aisle, the local roller derby team of elbow-jabbing, rink-dominating tough chicks. The last to emerge is the good Reverend Cooley, all in black, skin-fight tighting attire, knee pads, at last revealing her true warrior identity as Liv Fearless, L-I-V, you know, like Liv Ullman. Liv Fearless, Derby Queen. The congregation goes wild. Still in her skates, she gives a lovely short sermon on the beauty we can all find inside if we'll just let it loose. And when it's over, I'm sure she's beginning to ponder, what do I do next to follow this? Lots to think about as you loosen your knee pads. What I remember best from her sermon was how she used to say, "Excuse me," after bumping into someone in the rink. Her teammates had to remind her that in roller derby, at least, bumps and jabs are the point. You're not here to be Reverend Cooley. You're here to be Liv Fearless, so better start living fearlessly, girl. As the video ended, a couple of church friends joked, "When we first saw this, we wondered if maybe Craig was going to come out of the closet as an ultimate fighter." I said, "Not quite, but that I had spent some time as a boxer. I enjoyed leaving the impression of me looking like Robert De Niro in Raging Bull, face swollen, rushing back into the ring. That's not exactly how it was, though. The first time I saw my eyeball fill up with blood was my last day in a boxing class that came like early in my second month. I did spend a lot of time studying martial arts when I was in my 20s, starting with Taekwondo, the art of punching and kicking, sometimes called Korean karate. Our teacher, Mr. Lee, was a former military man who held a 9th degree black belt. He would always tell me that I was doing okay, I was very limber, but that I should eat more and lift weights. 120 pounds? You should be at least 140. I had at the time what you could call a very spiritual build. And if you asked me, I would have said that I was drawn to the spiritual side of martial arts. Well, here's one writer speaking to that side. "One starts from the refinement of the protective energy, the lower or earthly soul, progresses to refinement of the vital energy, intent or will, on to refinement of the creative energy, the higher or celestial soul, then again to refinement of the basic energy and basic spirit of emptiness. Finally, one merges with the Tao, which enables human beings to attain a thoroughly fulfilling holistic harmony and coordination with the universe and with nature, and also to fully employ the results of this training to attain the goals of disinterring extraordinary latent capacities and extending the lifespan." That pretty much sums up what I was after. Nothing too ambitious, just superpowers and near immortality. Later, when I was preparing for the ministry in California, I took classes with the light heavyweight champion of Taiwan's 1978 full contact martial arts tournament. At his studio, I took classes in Tai Chi and Bagua. You've all probably seen Tai Chi, right? Kind of moving around the center, right? Bagua is more, the characteristic form is walking in a circle. It's a little bit kind of like one's more center, one's more edge. So, those two. I also helped to organize a kung fu class for kids, and I assisted in teaching it. That earned me one free private lesson per week, and I chose to study a long staff weapon called the Earth Dragon Stick. I came in once feeling kind of tired and dragging my stick a little bit carelessly. No one else was in the studio except for Peter, who was sitting in a chair. From which he arose without a word and attacked me with his own staff, jabbing and striking and chasing me around the room. It was like a scene from that old kung fu TV show.
At first, I just tried to hustle away, but he kept coming. After a while, I began to respond to his attacks with movements that were less stiff, more spontaneous, and more effective than anything that I would have thought I could do. After a while, we sat down and talked about the wordless interaction that had just taken place, not just the mechanics, but also the inner part. It had been a nice reminder of what martial arts are all about for most of us, at least in the beginning. Fear. No matter what anyone tells you, Grasshopper, one of the prime motives for studying martial arts is fear. Deep fear. The body's fear. Peter never called me Grasshopper, by the way, but I was fully aware that he could have smashed me like one any time if he'd really wanted to with that staff. All that spiritual stuff you've been reading about, though, there's really something to it. You might have those extraordinary psychophysical experiences eventually, but if you ever want to get there, you'll have to look at what you fear. What is that? What are you afraid of? Is it something that you can name? Is it a threat to mind, body, soul? Some combination of the three? What's your horrible what's it? Any thoughts? I'm going to put my finger on one for you. Boy, I'm scared of cancer. But if I said, I'm scared of cancer. Abandonment. Yeah. Abandonment. You know, whatever you're afraid of, if you have to face it yourself someday, you can be glad to know that there are people here who will tell you a lot about how to shrink that down to a manageable size. People in this congregation have faced everything that you're most afraid of.
What about assault rifles?
Assault rifles. Right, man, an increasing number of us have faced those, haven't we? Or lived in the aftermath of those, right? Right? That ridiculous massacre supply. Right? That some people have taken so much care to make sure are available to everyone. Now, how to shrink that down to manageable size? My best early experience studying martial arts came at a Tai Chi club in Hyde Park on the south side of Chicago, where President Obama's family used to make their home. It was a very integrated neighborhood filled with academics and artists, merchants, workers, the unemployed, and students from around the world. The club had been founded by Master George Hu. He was doing graduate work at a university out of state at the time, but made regular, eagerly awaited visits to Chicago. Most weekly meetings were led by Master Hu's senior students. This is a really common pattern in martial arts instruction. Senior students carrying most of the load with occasional visits by the master. Ours were really good teachers, patient, kind, very humble. But at some schools, these senior students can be a real problem. You get the feeling that from the very first day that they started, they could hardly wait to start calling someone else Grasshopper. Some become fanatically loyal to a master teacher in ways that can remind you of kids goading each other, "Hey, my dad could beat your dad." But once, when our club hosted a public demonstration, some senior students from a studio based in the suburbs showed up wearing their shiny blue tunics. We always just wore street clothes, even Master Hu. Anyway, George did some delightful things like having a big line of people try to push him down, I don't know, 8 or 10 people, until he suddenly threw them all off balance. The audience laughed and, you know, enjoyed this, but the blue tunic folks weren't smiling. Later, when Master Hu had left, they approached some of us rival students, as I think they saw us. "Hey, our master can do the chi touch. Can your master do the chi touch? He had no idea. What the heck was the chi touch? They exchanged knowing glances with each other. See, these dimwits don't even know what the chi touch is. Of course we knew that chi is a Chinese word for one's life energy and that higher martial arts were supposed to offer a means of channeling that energy in deliberate ways, like in that reading I shared earlier. The chi touch must have something to do with using one's own chi to connect with or even disrupt that of an opponent through subtle contact, not an obvious punch or kick. But the details were obviously too much to share with a bunch of grasshoppers who didn't even have tunics. Who knows? Maybe their master was offering them something that ours didn't offer us, something we couldn't find together in our club meetings. Maybe. These folks did have a certain grim and dangerous look about them, if not a very cheerful one. Maybe this was just discomfort at visiting what they saw as a rival school. Maybe they felt nervous about being on the south side of Chicago. No shame in that. No shame in that. Heck, even our last president must feel that way sometimes when he visits family there. It can be a scary place where our nation's painful racial history is still being written and often still in blood. Which brings me to the most obvious difference between these two groups of aspiring martial artists, the easiest one to see. They were all white, except for their master, who hadn't come that day. That's not their fault, of course. It went with living in the suburbs in those days. We, on the other hand, looked like our neighborhood. Women, men, black, white, and brown. African Americans were a slight majority, including the top instructors after Master Hu. If any of them knew the chi touch, they never said so. But let me tell you now that there was a special touch that everyone in our club had experienced. Everyone. Even if we didn't have a special name for it. Let's call it the Chicago touch. It's easy to describe, if maybe a little hard to understand. Maybe you could even guess what it is. Any guessing? Yeah. It was people of all skin tones and eye shapes and hair textures touching each other. Touching each other in safe ways and on a regular basis. That's important, that regularity. Twice a week for our club. If you've ever taken a Tai Chi class, you might have tried the practice called pushing hands. Two partners make contact with one or both hands, then try to lead or follow their partner's movements to anticipate and adapt to it. It can be very gentle or very vigorous, so good teachers make sure that it's never violent. Hands and feet never move in isolation. If one part moves, all parts move, with the movement coming up from the feet to the waist, which directs it to the fingertips, while each player tries to yield and overcome, bend and be straight, empty and be full. You might remember those words from the Tao Te Ching. While pushing hands or doing other exercises, we did our best to put that spirit into practice. Touching the other person's hands or even standing apart from them, we would try to feel their life force or energy as much as our own, as much as that which filled the room or even the universe. I know that sounds great, though I can't tell you how much anyone actually achieved it. I do know that we tried. We reached out with our fingers and with what's between our fingers. Want to try that? Try that. Raise your hands up. Feel your fingers. Feel what's between. Let them come down. Try it again. See if practice makes it come easier. Feel your fingers. And what's between you? And let him come down. This simple hand-to-hand, skin-to-skin, space-between-to-space-between contact, twice a week in a spirit of playfulness, awareness, and trust, changed everyone who took part. How many white club members had ever touched an African-American person before? How many black members had never touched the skin of a Euro-American or Asian-American human being? How much of the fear that so many of us feel is due to a lack of the most basic kind of contact? The calming and liberating effect is almost indescribable. Empty, full, I just can't say. But I don't think it can be achieved virtually, or that there will ever be an app for it. Some things have to happen in real space and time, a neighborhood of real persons, where who knows what you'll find. A roller derby queen under a minister's robes, a master teacher wearing street clothes, selling street roots. How will things take shape in this sweet neighborhood of ours? I know that they will in time, and I hope I get to see it. I'm looking forward to that mural at the Hollywood Mac station in memory of last year's racist murders on the train. And in memory of that and of this community's response, I remember Lana's voice just piercing all the noise with that visual. Well, I mentioned cancer is my greatest fear, not people trying to hit me with their fists or feet or big earth dragon sticks. This brings me back to the master teacher of my old Chicago club, George, who is well over 70 now and is still teaching. His current project includes sharing martial arts techniques with cancer patients to help mitigate the effects of chemotherapy. Maybe he's teaching them the chi touch now. But even if he never knew it, I'm glad that I had the chance to be his grasshopper and to learn at least a little bit about living fearlessly. Reach out with your fingers. And what's between your fingers? Reach out with your fingers. And what's between your fingers? There, where the space that we share begins. Try it. You're doing great. Now I'm just going to hop away.